Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome again to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I'm your host, Brother Mark Higgins. It's Tuesday, March 30th, 2021. If you've been listening to the show, you've been following the shows on the airwaves here on the Panther Party Radio Network, you know that Tuesday is Blackout Tuesday, Boycott Tuesday in the Empowerment Zone, where we highly recommend that you patronize black businesses in your community as well as everywhere. And not just on Tuesdays, but here in the Empowerment Zone, we stringently advocate boycotting and keeping your money in the community and patronizing Black businesses, particularly on Tuesdays. But again, as we stress all the time, any day is a good day to boycott. Also, tonight we're going to be discussing, and we hope that you would join us in the discussing, tonight regarding two topics that I want to touch on. We want to discuss tonight two high-profile police violence and corruption cases here in the U.S. One that I'm sure if you haven't been living under a rock, you know of the George Floyd trial going on. But I want to touch on a not-so-high-profile case tonight. And that case is the reopening of the Kendrick Johnson case in Georgia. But before we delve into those topics tonight, I want to let everyone know that if you want to reach out, support us, or perhaps even join us, you leave your name and a contact number at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Again, just leave your name and a contact number and someone will get back to you expediently, I assure you. Also, want to let everyone know that here in the Empowerment Zone, you know, our purpose is rooted in the people, and this platform is set up for the people. We have Open Rant Show. We have a show dedicated to focusing on the big picture. We have a show dedicated to the upliftment of our people in our communities, and from every aspect. And of course, we have the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. And all these shows are set up, this particular platform is set up for the people. And our purpose is rooted in the people. Please excuse me. So with that said, again, to reach us, to support us or to join us, that's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Just leave your name and a contact number and someone will reach out to you. You know, last night's show with Brother Melvin, something that was key to me was when he mentioned the creating a new normal aspect of unification in our community, the unifying of our people, and the necessary tools it takes for that unification. And he broke down a number of things that are necessary in order for us to achieve our goal, in order for us to gain strength in this fight, in this war. He also mentioned keeping the movement pure, keeping our movement pure. And from what I understood, I'm almost certain that he meant I mean, he spelled it out, and I wasn't confused. But from what I took from it, he meant by keeping the movement pure, that he meant that basically not to sell out, not to do what Black Lives Matter has done in perpetuating the false narrative. And I agree 100% by keeping the movement pure, as well as creating a new norm. You know, the reason why I chose this topic, these particular topics tonight, is to somewhat piggyback on what was spoken on last week, what one topic was last week regarding the cancel culture and how a lot of this ties into this cancel culture a number of things that tie into this cancel culture with the advent of I'm just going to say this, and you may not agree, and frankly I don't care, but this is my perspective and my commentary, and this is how basically what I see all the aspects of this circus, which this circus that does not lack in variety. And Brother Melvin spoke on that last night when he was talking about the distractions and diversions that are that are used to basically mind fuck us. So with that said, we're going to look at one thing that stood out to me. Again, we're going with the topic of high profile and not so high profile cases. There's one, and of course we know the George Floyd murder trial and the reopening has not come to trial yet, but the case has been reopened for the Kendrick Johnson family in Georgia. The not so high profile case, which will definitely pick up steam, gain some steam in the coming weeks due to new evidence, and we'll get into more of that a little bit later. But I want to start off with the, as I mentioned before, part of the distraction and how this game is played and how we so fall victim to these distractions and we're left to not even be able to form our own opinions, and then when you do form an opinion that isn't status quo, you know, you're vilified. You're condemned. You're dismissed as crazy. There's that word again, crazy. We'll talk about that a little bit later too, because I kind of want to piggyback on what Brother Melvin was talking about last night in regards to our mental state and where and how we can achieve our goal. And as we've spoken in the Empowerment Zone on many occasions, as far as mental health aspects, we even had a mental health expert on the show, Dr. Hassan, and I I've always been of the belief and contention that we as a people and as a community won't be able to take that first step without first addressing the dreadful and festering mental health crisis that we face in our community. Again, without addressing that, not going anywhere. And I know it's a stark reality. It sounds harsh, but it's a stark reality. We must address the mental health crisis. Also, again, going back to the high profile cases, and I really don't want to. I kind of want to spray hit these two topics without getting off track, because there's just so many things, and I don't want to lose focus. But there's just so many things involved, so much information. There's so much new information and evidence, video, physical. I'm speaking of the George Floyd trial. There's so much new evidence, be it physical as well as video or electronic, as they say, talk in court. Unfortunately, you know, when you're talking about legal matters, you have to use that legal speak, or you just sound like a dumbass, not knowing and uninformed. So if I sound like a paralegal, I'm sorry, because I'm certainly not. I'm not qualified. I'm just going on the information from the research gathered. And the developing information and evidence that we're all privy to. So here we go. One of the things that really stood out to me was the not the dispatch. Which her testimony was really powerful and downright damning, in my opinion. However, what really stood out to me was the testimony of Mr. Williams, the MMA fighter / security guard / bouncer. / wrestler. He has like four titles. And the reason why he was such a valuable witness was because he wasn't the first on the scene. He was one of the first on the scene. The actual first witness that actually provided the video that went viral rapidly was Darnella Frazier. She had the unfortunate distinction of being the first witness and hearing George Floyd's cries and pleas for the police to get off of him. However, Mr. Williams, again, was one of the second, or the next, rather, witnesses to encounter this event, and he immediately, according to his testimony and the way that the defense attorney for Pig was being, the way he was questioning him, was kind of, to me, was rather arrogant, and but I won't get into that. The reason, again, what really stood out to me in Mr. Williams' testimony was his recalling of that moment and the way that the attorney was questioning him. His answers, to me, I could see in his body language and his eyes how genuine his account was. And then when the attorney was asking him what Mr. Williams was saying to the officer that would not let him approach, because he wanted to, my understanding, he wanted to approach Officer Chauvin and George Floyd to get him off of George Floyd. But Officer Tao, the Asian officer, prevented him from approaching any further, and Mr. Williams stepped back on the curb. But according to the video and the video evidence and his testimony, he was screaming and pleading and beseeching the police officer to get off of Ms. Floyd, and began to call this one, began to not threaten, but say things such as, this makes you a real man. You're a real man. You're a real tough guy. You're a real tough guy. Got a guy handcuffed and a knee on his neck. You're a real tough guy. And then I guess he also said to Officer Chow something to the effect that if you didn't have that gun, that badge, I want to slap the shit out of you. Something to that effect. I'm not quoting. So, and you can see the frustration from the defense attorney when he had to repeatedly, he had to repeatedly repeat himself. Mr. Williams kept asking him to repeat the question. And he was, the attorney was trying to be as articulate as possible. But Mr. Williams was being rather hostile. I will say that. But I can't say I blame the brother either, because in the questioning from the defense attorney, he was really questioning him about his expertise in wrestling holds and wrestling and submission holds, and he was also questioning the possibility and the effects of being rendered unconscious, the possibility of being rendered unconscious and being able to recover after regaining consciousness and fight again. But the way that the attorney was asking him these questions, again, as articulately as possible, I can tell that Brother Williams didn't hear the question, didn't understand the question, and what he heard. No, let me rephrase that. In the attorney's line of questioning, the brother's answers were not, in fact, the judge even had to tell Brother Williams to he even had to remind him that these were all yes or no questions. But the brother's response to every question that the attorney posed to him was, if that's what you heard, you heard me say it, that's what you heard. If that's what you heard, if that's what you saw on the video, that's what happened. He would not answer yes or no to nearly hardly any of the questions. But they got through that portion before he was, to the attorney's chagrin, I'm sure, they finally got through that portion of questioning, and then they dismissed him before they took a break and went and moved on to the original Miss Frazier, who at the time, May 25th of last year, she was still a minor. She was only 17. She's since had a birthday. In fact, she had a birthday recently. Since had a birthday. But they still really thought that this was odd. They wouldn't show her picture in the video. They wouldn't show her on the stand. However, when they showed the video, you can clearly see her face. You can clearly see the other minor in the picture, her young cousin, whom she was taking to the store, that Cup Foods that was on the corner where all this took place. So you can clearly see her face. And then they muted the, when she was sworn in, they muted the audio. I really thought this was odd. They muted the audio and said because she was a minor at the time, they gave this whole disclaimer, the judge did, gave this whole disclaimer about how they were going to mute the audio and black out her face because she was a minor. It's from the judge. During the swearing in, they were going to do all this as to protect her innocence. And then, after all that was said, the minute the state's attorney started asking questions, he referred to her by her first and last name, and then shortly thereafter presented video evidence, and in the video, you can clearly see her face as well as the young cousin. So I don't understand what the whole disclaimer prior to her being sworn in was. They did all that only to reveal her identity. Not only did they reveal her identity with her name, first and last name, and video, and a still photo, but they also revealed where she went to high school. The two high schools. They almost gave her, they really almost gave her her current address because the one attorney had asked her how long she had lived in the neighborhood, and then did she know that the neighborhood was a bad neighborhood, meaning crime infested. So I just didn't understand. Really, really thought that was odd how they did this whole thing before her being sworn in, only to reveal practically everything, just completely reveal her identity. I didn't understand that. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Beats me. But I just thought that was one distinction in this trial that's probably, as well as her testimony was really passionate. It was tearful and passionate, and you could hear her whimpering and crying. They never showed her face during her testimony, but you could hear her crying, whimpering and crying and struggling to testify. But she did, when she was asked to point out the man that had his knee on George Floyd's neck, she pointed directly at George Floyd, I'm sorry, please forgive me. She pointed directly at Officer Chauvin. And what I thought was so telling as to the contempt and utter evil of this, I won't even call him a man, of this pig that has no regard for human life or safety. Yes, he's a police officer. What I thought was really telling was two examples of when young brother Williams was excused as he was walking away from the stand and walking past the pig. The pig turned and looked at him, and man, I tell you, it the old saying, if looks can kill, I mean, he gave him the death look. The death stare, whatever you want to call it. And then when when Ms. Frazier was excused from the stand and she had to walk past him, he gave her the same look. I mean, it was an ominous stare, to say the least. That stood out to me. You know, this circus, I mean, this trial has yet to become a circus, but the reason why earlier I said that this game does not lack variety, the reason why I said that is because this whole thing is a fucking circus. And another part of the distractions, you know, we got so much other real pertinent shit going on. You know, we got the crisis at the border. You know, we got more corruption. Already we got corruption in this administration. We got lies going back and forth. We got a motherfucker that I'm not even really going to get into Mitch McConnell, but we've got so many distractions, as Brother Melvin was speaking about last night, that and it's all part of this crazy circus, and this is just another ring in this multi-ring circus. This is more than a three-ring circus. This is like a 89-ring circus. For God's sake, there's just so much shit going on. And not to mention, as I mentioned earlier, I don't want to get off track. I still want to stick to these two particular topics. But I do want to, please excuse me, I do want to remember, excuse me, I do want to mention, rather, that hadn't had a mass shooting this week. Last week was pretty rough week. But it's only Tuesday. But so far, no mass shootings. And with that said, please be vigilant when you're out there. You shouldn't be out there anyway, shopping with them. Shop with your own. Keep telling y'all, stay away from these damn malls. Stop being in such a hurry to give them your money. Stop being in such a hurry to fund our torture and demise. Be in a hurry to fund our network. Be in a hurry to fund the revolution. Be in a hurry to patronize black businesses. Be in a hurry to build your community. Again, don't be in a hurry. As soon as you get that stimulus money, As soon as you get that little paycheck, don't be in a hurry to run and give them all your money. Again, with that said, be vigilant. Be ultra safe. Be careful. Because it's not safe. None of us are safe anywhere. Not safe anywhere. Can't even go to the grocery store without risking being murdered. Can't even go to the damn mall. Can't even go to the gas station, for God's sake, to get a pack of squares to fill up. Because carjackings are skyrocketing. Be safe. Like Brother Melvin was saying, let's create this new norm that's necessary. This new movement that will not be compromised. And when I say not be compromised, I mean like what Brother Melvin said, keeping it pure. Be uncompromising and enterprising. And we can vanquish all these stupid ass stereotypes and negative narratives, false narratives. We can vanquish all that shit by uniting, being enterprising. Building alliances, stringently networking, creating multilateral media networks, communication networks, so in times of emergency, we can rely on each other, we can communicate, and we can keep moving. Won't be stifled, won't be held back. Like Brother Melvin was saying, as soon as we catch up, they knock us three steps. They find a way to knock us three steps back. I'm sorry, that was Brother Kevin was saying, knocking us three steps back with the revamping of the fucking Jim Crow law. We're in new Jim Crow, I guess, as far as the voting procedures are concerned now. Another ring in this fucking circus that we got to fight in. Another battle in this ongoing war. That's why it's so important to stringently start networking, building alliances, creating a new normal. Creating, again, multilateral communication networks. So what happened in Texas, where the world just stopped and was frozen over, so that kind of shit won't happen again. You've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to further delve into these two high profile, I consider them high profile, the George Floyd murder trial, as well as the reopening of the Kendrick Johnson murder case based on new evidence, or let me say this, evidence that was just recently looked at, but had been submitted 2 years ago. So we'll delve a little further into that when we come back. Again, if you want to join us, the number to call is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Just press 1. You'll be entered into the host queue. And when you do come on, just be mindful and be respectful and be kind to the other callers when you're done with your statement, just be mindful that we use the Robert's Rule of Order here, where you just simply yield when you're done with your comment or statement. Again, you're listening to The Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We'll be back shortly after this break. Peace. Stay tuned, y'all.
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is, they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that black lives matter, when truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your books and history books. But honestly, it ain't just black.
Yeah!
Peace. Welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Again, it's Tuesday, March 30th. We're almost there, almost a quarter away through 2021. Oh, yeah, don't forget, it's Tuesday, Blackout Tuesday, Boycott Tuesday. Boycott, 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 boycott. I don't care who you shop with, stop and patronize black folks. It's the only way that we can begin to cripple this wicked system. But we all got our part to do. But like Melvin was saying about, we got 7,500 people on our page that follow us. Just tell one person. Just link up with one person to begin this new norm, to build alliances. Just one person. And then, like you said, those 15,000 people, $5-$10 a month, can create an enormous opportunity in steps towards bridging the wealth gap that we talk about so much on these airwaves. The fast wealth gap. In comparison to the other ethnic groups in this country, and I mean vast wealth gap. With the spending that our community does on an annual basis in this country, the more than 1%, which I know is a fraction, but still, it's necessary. They depend on it. Believe me, they depend on it. Like Melvin said, if we all went on a year-long boycott and started contributing to our own, start funding the revolution, start building alliances, creating this normal, this new normal, this creating, addressing all the issues in our community. So it's 15,000 people with $5-$10 can create an enormous opportunity to take those steps to achieve those particular goals, which are so doable. Everybody else does it. We can't. The most creative people on the planet, in spite of all the hoops and hardships that we had to go through, and still manage to create, like Brother Melvin was saying about, you know, our generation, and I know we're contemporary, we're the same age, roughly, we created hip-hop. And not just hip-hop, I mean, that was a great contribution. Music is one of the biggest contributions that our people have made to not just our society, but the world, period. But hip-hop, our generation created hip-hop. And Brother Melvin laid down the gauntlet. He said, if we did that, then we must be the ones to create this new norm. If we're capable of doing, of creating such a monolith in hip hop and culture, we're able to create that. Me tell me that we can't create something even greater and pass that on we're still reaping the benefits. I mean, everyone's reaping the benefits of hip-hop. Hip-hop has gone so mainstream when it was so maligned in the beginning. And now it's so mainstream, you wouldn't know. I mean, you look at all the commercials. Almost all the commercials are either hip-hop, rock and roll, or blues, or country, which, you know, still our music, our culture. But mostly hip-hop recently. You know, there's some songs that they use as a selling point for a particular item. But hip-hop is so ingrained in mainstream now. Our creation is so ingrained in mainstream now that almost every other commercial has hip-hop. I mean, I was watching something the other day, and it's a damn insurance commercial, a damn Geico commercial with the, like Melvin was saying, you know, we don't own shit. The rights to that Whoop, There It Is song by Tag Team. Tag Team don't own those masters. They don't own the publishing rights to those songs. The masters that own those masters own them two niggas. Talking about Sprinkles. Those two brothers don't own nothing. And that's what Melvin was talking about. Creating a new norm, keeping the movement pure. But I digress. I just wanted to make that point and to emphasize what we're all about here. These are some of the goals that we focus on here in the Empowerment Zone. Things that have to be done, things that have to be focused on, things that have to be taken to action. And the call to action has been it's been spoken, but to emphasize what Brother Melvin was saying, it's time for some action. You know, like Willie D said, no more talk. Talking's over. I mean, we've seen examples of what action can do. We saw that on January 6th. You know, and we don't, you know, as an organization, and I think I can speak for all my comrades. We do not want to be lumped in or associated with Black Lives Matter or the NFAC or whatever they want to call themselves. We don't want to be lumped into those groups. We don't want to be stereotyped any more than we already are. We realize how maligned we are, and we also realize fuck target on our back. And I commend all my comrades for their love and their passion and their devotion to this movement. Thank you, everybody online, by the way. I'm sorry. Thank you, everybody listening online. If you, if you want to join us in the conversation, the number to reach us is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Just press 1, and you'll be entered to the host queue. And then I will open up your mic, and you can contribute to the show. As promised before the break, I said that we were going to delve further into the two topics on the table tonight. And again, one of the things that I want to touch on that really holds some distinction for me, and as well as some red flags, and I'm referring to the George Floyd case in Minneapolis. One of the red flags for me, real talk, is the fact that the jury pool was they claimed that it was very diverse, and yet I'm looking at the 12 plus 2 alternative jurors. And let me ask you if this makes any sense. You have a white, literally blue collar professional on trial, a capital murder case or a felony murder case, because it's not, if the shoe was on the other foot, if the police had been killed, it would have been a capital murder case. Okay. This is a federal case. With the defendant being a white, blue-collar professional, law enforcement. And that's being prosecuted by the state. And again, this is, and I'm going to show you again how this all ties into the cancel culture that we were speaking about last week. Got this white man on trial, killing a black man. You have 14 jurors, 12 jurors, 14 total, two alternatives, 12 and 2. Of these 14 jurors, 9 are women, 5 men. Of these 9 women, 6 are white, 2 are mixed race, and they give the distinction, mixed race. 2 are mixed race, 1 black woman. So of the 14 jurors, 9 are women, 6 of them are white, 2 are mixed, 1 black woman. Of the 5 male jurors, make sure to get this right, because I don't want to get in trouble. Of the five male jurors, 4 are white. I'm sorry. 3 are white and 2 black male. The other distinctions are the white males are, 1 is white male in his 20s. Another white male in his 30s. You also have 2 black males, 1 in his 30s. Another black male in his 40s. The mixed race females are in their 40s. The other one's in their 20s. And the white female jurors are in their 50s. They're 40. 2 are in their 50s. I'm sorry, 3 are in their 50s. 1 is in their 20s. 1 is in her 40s. And the lone black female juror is in her 60s. Now, I'm pointing all this out, as I mentioned earlier, to me, these are red flags. And they claim that the jury pool was very diverse. And I don't know if my judgment is clouded. I try to reserve all judgment. I really do. I pride myself in reserving all judgment until all the facts are released. Until I know all the facts, then I can pursue, you know, so I can get a full picture. But these 14 jurors, diversity kind of threw up a red flag to me. And I just want to know if anyone else feels that way. Because, again, 9 women, 5 men, 1 single black woman out of 14, and 9 women, 1 single black woman, 6 white women, ranging from the ages of 20 to 60. And 5 men, 2 of them black, 1 in his 30s, the other in his 50s. Again, the notion that 9 women hold the fate of Officer Chauvin's, hold his fate in their hands. I really think that there was a clever way of assembling this particular jury, especially after the delay, the prior delay. Again, I just want to know if this is suspect to you. And there's some other distinctions in this case with the evidence that's been provided thus far that throw a red flag up with me too. So so I'm really not sure. And again, I want to know. You know, I got questions, man, and I want to know if I'm the only one with this opinion. I'm going to open up the mic, and hopefully, my brother and comrade can add to me. Welcome to the Empowerment Zone. Your mic's open.
Peace, brother.
State your name. Where you from? Oh, what's good, bro? How you doing?
Yeah, you know it is, right?
Yeah, I got you, brother Kevin. What's happening?
My brother. What's up, man? How's everything?
Oh man, it's all good, man. We're trying to piece together this shit, man, because I got questions. You know.
I want to touch on that because I heard you breaking down the jury, and I was watching the trial, this fiasco that they're putting on.
Yeah,
I mean, Steven
right?
Spielberg might be jealous at the production that we're being shown right now. You know what I'm saying? That's his line of work, you know? That's his line of work to make fantasy look like reality, you know what I mean? But, yeah, the reason why that jury was selected, and remember, this is on both sides. This is on the defense and the prosecution work together to put that jury together, okay? Now, problem with that is when you lay out those demographics, here's my problem, okay? What they did was they literally gave him a jury of his peers. He got a jury of his peers. Okay? We don't get those kind of juries. We don't get that kind of luck, that kind of love from our lawyer or the prosecutor. But I'm looking with the jury I see in the death of a black man at the hands of this white man who showed no remorse right after killing this black man, okay? The videos alone say he should already be incarcerated for this forever. However, we're seeing the benefit of the doubt at its highest level. They're going to smear George Floyd's name as much as they can and reduce him in the public eye to nothing more than a drugged up con man who just happened to run into the wrong one. And if he had been healthier,
and he deserved to die.
If he had been healthier than anyone with their knee on his neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds wouldn't have killed him. So at the end of the day, his death is his fault and not the fault of Derek Chauvin. And the best jury to come back with that is the one that they picked.
Yeah, I've always intended, brother, that this ain't gonna be no slam dunk. I don't give a fuck what testimony, as tearful and passionate as testimony as these witnesses are giving. As like you said, this production is Hollywood worthy. Because they've been coached up. These witnesses have been coached up by the attorney. But what I'm saying is, I don't think that this is going to be a fucking slam dunk. Because no matter how much testimony.
Minnesota has never allowed a camera in court, ever. Minnesota has never, ever in their history, ever allowed a court in the camera. And a camera in the courtroom. And this one is going to be shown worldwide.
24/7 coverage. But before Ms. Frazier got up there, they gave the judge gave this disclaimer of why they're not gonna show her face and reveal her name. And then as soon as they got done with all that shit, the state's attorney says her name clearly. And then even gives the high school that she went to.
Wow.
And I just thought that was so weird. And the guys are protecting her innocence. And I mean, you're going to give this disclaimer to the judge. These were the judge's words before he swore her in.
Right.
And then they revealed her. They went on and revealed her name not even 2 minutes later. And they showed her face in
like
the video.
Behind the silhouette, and they decided to turn the light on her.
so how they protecting her innocence? And did you see the way Chauvin looked at her when she got excused from the stand? Damn, dude.
Yeah. Well, you got to remember where they are, man. I mean, you know, to Derek Chauvin, what he did. There's precedent for it. I mean, Philando Castile was shot after acknowledging to the cop unarmed that he had a gun in the car and a license for it, and in making the mistake to reach for it, he got shot the fuck up in front of his family.
Yeah.
That cop got no time. He was in Minnesota, and they gave him a $47,000 payout. When they told him he could no longer work as a cop in Minnesota,
but the Somali in Minnesota sheriff's deputy got 10 years.
Went to jail.
I really think.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm going to reserve judgment to all the fucking facts come out.
I wouldn't.
But we see in history, like you mentioned, we see in history repeating itself, and this motherfucker's going to walk somehow or slap on the wrist at a dubious death.
Look, Amber Geiger has appealed on the grounds of trying to get out of her conviction, thinking that it was some silly shit she's doing. Now, this is after she hugged his brother, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And,
I know.
Right. And, you know, so we know that, and for what she did to him, how cold is it that you're sitting on your couch eating ice cream in your home? Bills paid. You don't have no beef. Your door is opened, you know, by someone, and you are shot. Now, there's a lot of bad ways to go, but that's a really bad one.
That's downright insulting.
And then to think that they're not, they were given 10 years, and they only have to serve 6.
Not safe anywhere, even in your own goddamn home.
Exactly. Exactly. You know?
Yeah, you try to sit with me.
We saw the judge give her a Bible.
Walk up in here.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, you got one time to try that shit with me. I'm going to let you know. I ain't no secret. I'm ready. So, but, and I feel so badly. And you know, I did want to touch on, and I wanted to ask your opinion about this, the other topic that I had on the table tonight about the reopening of the Kendrick Johnson case down in that Fairfax County in Georgia. Good God. I believe it's Fairfax County. Definitely Klanland.
The place that was reopened? What's the place that was reopened?
No, the Kendrick Johnson murder case. Apparently,
new evidence. Should have never been closed.
Well, because it's a major cover-up. I mean, it's deep. It goes. I mean, that rabbit hole goes deep down there. It goes deep as the what Melvin mentioned last night, the organs and the organ harvesting and how it was discovered after the second autopsy by the family's private autopsy that the brother was his organs were taken, because when he arrived to the funeral home and they went to open him up, that's when they discovered the newspaper. They didn't know that his organs had been taken. That's their job. That's not the
right.
That's not the county coroner's office job. So another red flag. Again, this rabbit hole goes deep, and I didn't know if you were aware of this case being reopened, because this particular county is notorious for killing black folks, and the thing that they're really there's been a media blackout in this case is because the father of the two suspects is an FBI agent. And it's been suggested that this cover-up, that they're complicit in this cover-up because of that fact. And that he may have even been a part of covering this up, whatever, you know, his son's murder. Either of his two sons murdering Pony Young Kendrick, who it was discovered that in the second autopsy, because the first autopsy they claimed that he died of suffocation, which was not the case at all. It was determined that he died of blunt force trauma to his neck, to the back of his neck. And then maybe the way that he was rolled up in that wrestling mat, that suffocation, death was attributed to suffocation as well. Well, part and parcel, I guess I should say.
There's a problem with that whole scenario. Do you know what it is? The problem is that if they were going to harvest his organs, then they got to take them just before or right after he dies. So obviously, whatever happened didn't happen at that gym, okay? Because there's no way you're going to take his organs out and not have blood everywhere. So,
well,
that was
the
that
mystery
was
is
clean somewhere, and then they dumped his body already dead there. He wouldn't have suffocated in those mats. He's already dead by that point. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the thing. The autopsy also revealed that not just the blunt force trauma, but his face was bashed in as well, and the fact that he was upside down. Another piece of evidence were two pairs of gym shoes. And how they were placed. One pair was placed above it, under his head. The other, literally under his head, that was smashed. Also, it was also determined that it was smashed by a 45-pound dumbbell. Also, the way that the gym shoes were placed under his head, as well as the other pair being placed below his feet, not on his feet, but below his feet. The videotape was manipulated, and it wasn't presented like it had been cut. Like four to eight minutes has been cut from the video mysteriously. And they show video of him entering the gym, but there's no video of him exiting the gym. And then there's video of the two brothers that had been, his parents, Mr. Johnson's parents had been made aware that Kendrick had been bullied by these two brothers for some time. And the mother had made the school principal aware of this, but nothing had been done. And then again, with the manipulated tape, and them showing these two brothers entering the gym within 3 minutes after Kendrick. And then it shows them exiting the gym together, like 4 to 5 minutes later. And then but then the next portion of the tape you see is the timestamp on the tape, there's like 4 to 8 minutes missing, and that's the big mystery. And also how could something like that have taken place in such a short span of time? But again, this all happened at 1:30 in the afternoon, and then his body wasn't discovered until the next day. So, it's a big mystery, and it's a major cover up.
It takes a lot to snatch organs. It's not as simple as people might think, you know? There's some shit you have to do in order to snatch organs. My whole thing with this case is this, in my opinion, was just a brutal ass murder. Now, as far as what organs were missing, like I said, there's a certain protocol to that unless you're just cutting out organs for the sake of it. Okay? Then you don't care if the body's dead or not, I guess. But a freshly killed body, man, the blood's still warm. And if they had to do this all in that little bit of time and they left with nothing in their hands, then it makes me think something else is at play. This was just basically a very brutal murder. And somebody is trying to make sure that them two little motherfuckers don't go to jail for it.
Yeah, they're fed fathers.
So, I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, I'll ask this question. If it was your kid accused of murder and you were in a position of power, what would you do?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you got two choices. Make the wrong choice and do the right thing.
I would think that people should want to do the right thing on it, you know? and accept that you failed as a father because you raised two little motherfucking murderers. No matter how much peas and carrots you fed them, they fucked up.
Well, that's a harsh reality that parents got to face and on their own. That's what they got to live with. But justice has to be, justice must be served, and it's got to be swift, and it's got to be, it's got to be swift, and it's got to be accurate according to the crime, right?
With so, this scenario, though, is how many other times have they gotten away with this shit? How many, because they didn't just start bullying him, you know what I mean?
Right.
Bullies are usually pretty practiced at that shit. And that means that, you know, especially if they're working in a tandem, they're both bullying them, then, yeah, and they're brothers, so they get to talk about how they're going to bully them, all kind of shit, you know. So, whole bunch of federal conspiracy charges right there. Yeah, you know, so I'm thinking, how many other people have been accosted or maybe even murdered by these critters, and it was, you know, made to look like everything but what it actually was? Because that's what this whole thing is about, was trying to make it look so murky that people wouldn't want to look at it too long. You know what I mean? And
well, they wanted to make it look like an accident because of the way the shoes were situated. They wanted to make it look like he was trying to retrieve some shoes from that were stuck in the mat. That's what they tried to make it look like. Also, a new development. Wow. This was the big new development, man. So this tape was sent to the parents, to Kendrick Johnson's mother, and it was a confession. And it sounded like the boy that did it, because he was saying how he wished it had never happened. He didn't mean to do it. He was young and stupid and used poor judgment, like he was being coaxed into making his confession. And then and he said that I did it. I tried to make it look like an accident. And I know that they're going to get me. He kept saying they're going to get me anyway. They're going to get me anyway. They're moving in. They're going to get me anyway. I'm sorry. And then the tape was sent. And then the mother gave the tape to the sheriffs. Or the sheriffs or the feds, one of them. So, this is a new development.
If the dad's a fed, the feds probably took over that investigation. That's the only way
affect
it. They have to take it over for him to be able to do anything. So if he slowed up the investigation, that's what that is. He slowed up the investigation, and he's muddied it up, so now... Unless you have a higher rank than him and you're really interested, you probably ain't going to find out shit.
Yeah, I can see that being, that really sounds like some, and we're familiar with this kind of tactic. That sounds like some COINTELPRO shit, to send a tape to the parents.
It is.
To send a tape to the parents with a alleged confession.
What it is, it's a hollow attempt to give the family some closure, because if you can get the family off of this shit, then everybody else should sit the fuck down. But who's the first one that's going to want to keep reopening the investigation? The family. So if you can get the family to think that this was some other shit, then three quarters of your battle is won. The problem is
one of those battles is diversionary tactics. This is classic misdirection, diversionary tactic.
You've been in the military, man. You know, you have been in the military. The object is not how you get the job done, but that you get the job done. Okay? That's it, you know?
By any means, all the spirit is love and war, right?
And this guy has no qualms, obviously, about not only disrespecting and violating the rights of that man and his family, but is using his position to protect his children. And, you know, that says a lot. because that shows where that's the problem with being in these positions. A lot of times when you get in them, the last thing you're thinking is you may have to use it to save your own. But the question then becomes, what would you do? And most people would probably do what they could to say, if my daughter called and it's a problem and I got to skip the position, it's possible that I would risk it all to make sure she's okay. But then again, I'm weird. It might be a Wednesday, and I decide that maybe she needs to go ahead and deal with what she did, and we're going to do that. I don't know. I'm not going to say I would or wouldn't, because I really don't know at the moment when I hear. I have to deal. That's an in-moment thing right there, in-moment.
Oh, for sure,
but,
yeah.
But being, you know, being on this planet, knowing the, you know, having dealt with, destruct those type of cops, because FBI, Fed cops are way different than these local boys. They move a whole different way. They talk a whole different way. They actually treat these dudes like they're security guards. And these motherfuckers are killing us daily. We don't like them either, and they think they important. But Fed cops are a whole nother cut. Oh, man.
Yeah, because they have,
some
they
of
have different authority.
Some of the most motherfuckers you're going to meet are federal cops. Trust me. Think about it,
yeah,
Mark.
A shipmate that's now, he may be retired by now, but I had a shipmate that that joined the feds. And, yeah, I know what kind of personality he had, so I can imagine.
Right. And the thing is, a federal cop will look you in the eye with that suit on and be lying to you like a motherfucker. And you will swear that because he's a federal cop that he is being square with you, because he ain't got nothing to lose. He got all the power. So why would he lie to you? Right? Wrong. He's going to lie to you because you are nothing more than a tool in his investigation, unless you are his investigation. And if he's talking to you, you either are the investigation or a tool in the investigation. Any questions?
Right.
That's it. When you know what you're dealing with, then you know how to maneuver. And that family is not going to get the justice they deserve because too many people know something that they can't tell now. And
no,
they'll still be going to Disney World with their families this year. While Kendrick's family warns him,
say that
still,
again, brother.
You know what I mean? Huh?
Word. Man.
I'm just saying,
right,
it's
there,
not
brother.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's not.
It's not right.
There'll be no justice. There'll be no justice, and tears are still going to be raining.
What's sad is more bodies will be found. Because one thing about a murderer, when they get away with a murder, they usually go and try it again.
Yep.
That's why I'm wondering how many bodies do they have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, I mean, think
this
about out
song.
There where you at, in Chicago. How many times have they found a bunch of bodies? Like, I know in Baltimore, that show, The Wire, you remember there was, if you ever watched that show, there was a little section of that show where they had a situation where they had these bodies that they had buried in this building, specifically in this building. And it was going to get torn down. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. We don't
that.
Know how many of those truly exist. I think every city has them. Every city has them. New York had them. You know? Because I used to wonder, how did they leave? As a little kid, I used to wonder, all right, so let me get this straight. We're in a country where land means money, right? And the more land you own, the more money you have. And the city owns all of this property with abandoned buildings on it that have been abandoned for years. Why
in no hurry, in no
like
hurry
that to, when you make no money on it? You know what I'm saying? Who does
right.
that?
Yeah, with no hurry to utilize that land.
Right. Thank you. Follow me now. Because I'm thinking now you motherfuckers got Starbucks and all this other shit on it, but then you didn't want to put shit on it. You know, nothing. You know, but I think every city has places that are like that, that not only the crooks use, but so do the cops, because they know bodies are stashed there too.
Oh, man. I can just imagine that there's too many locations, especially with the Chicago River. Yeah, there's too many. You got the Chicago, the Slaves, and Kankakee rivers here that can provide a lot of especially on the south side. Nigga, please, man. Yeah. On the south, man, there's too many places. And just recently we were talking about how there's a cop on trial right now for corruption, and he was a lieutenant, but he's got bodies, and he got not just bodies on the ground but the bodies in jail as well on false convictions, you know, on trumped up charges and shit. And some of the guys that he had locked up are now being freed and testifying against him. So you can just imagine. I mean, this is just one cop.
Wow.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, man, I can personally attest to how much damage just one cop can do. Depending on how much time they have and how wide their reach is, you'd be surprised at what they can get done. There was a movie back in the day called Internal Affairs. Andy Garcia and Richard Gere.
Yeah, man, that was a great movie.
How the sergeant had all the fucking juice. Remember, Richard Gere was just a sergeant, dog. He was just a sergeant, and he was running the whole fucking place. Okay.
Yeah, he was. So, he had more juice than a fucking chief.
Yeah. Hey, he was cold with it, man. That was one of my favorite movies back in the 90s, man. I was like, wow, that was cold. You can't be doing what you was doing under the table and then shake his hand. And she didn't say nothing. I was like, oh, man, that's gangster. That is gangster. This dude is cold, you know. He was just ice cold, but there's a lot of cops out there that are just that calculating. So one cop can get a lot done if they really are, you know, dedicated to just being dastardly, you know.
Yeah, but it's system-wide, and I really want to, you know, that's why I really wanted to focus on these two particular cases, and I'm thrilled that this case in Georgia is being reopened because at this for 7 years these motherfuckers got away with murder, but it looks now like the original prime suspects are the ones that indeed killed young Kendrick Johnson. So we're gonna keep tabs on this developing case. I was gonna take a break, but like you say, let's keep it rolling because got roughly 20 minutes, so we got another plug. But I really want to further discuss the testimony. The testimony today, and how I loved how Brother Williams was being hostile, but not overly hostile, and I can see, you know, this brother is articulate, and there were moments where I could see he was kind of punch drunk. And there were also moments where I could see he was playing. He was playing dumb,
right.
as not to be viewed as because first of all, you remember, I don't know if you saw this portion, but if you recall, the defense attorney was really trying to put words in his mouth. by telling them as you were growing angrier, you were getting angry. And the brother was like, no, yeah. I wasn't getting angry. I was trying to stay composed and stay in my body. I know as a professional, as a fighter, if I get out of my body, then I'm out of control.
Right.
So I wasn't getting angry. And the attorney kept on trying to, you know, put words in his mouth, and he kept repeating himself. I was staying in my body.
No, what I appreciated was he opened a door, though, that they didn't expect. Because now, in a way, you've turned him into a witness that actually has an expert opinion on chokeholds.
he was trying to minimize that.
Yeah, I know. In spite of his client being on trial over a chokehold, you know what I'm saying? Because it's really what it was.
The
it was
difference between
chokeholds.
Right, he was trying to make the distinction between a blood hold, where the carotid artery is obstructed, and the distinction between that hold and the full Nelson, where the trachea is obstructed. So
right,
he basically shit on it. And I thought this shit was so funny, how the brother kept his composure. And then he kept saying, if that's what you saw in the video, then yeah, that was me.
Well, for one, we have rules as bouncers, you know, that we followed out here anyway. One, you know, we don't put you on the ground. If you're on the ground, we probably hit you, and you hit the ground. But if you're on the ground, we're not going to be on top of you. That's a compressive chokehold. You don't know what this person's health thing is. You don't know nothing about that. And if they're already compromised, then you being on them does not aid that situation. Now, what this cop was doing, which I still don't understand why he was doing it, because George Floyd is already fucking cuffed, and he's already under control, because cuffed means under control, okay? That's why you motherfuckers ain't used it. You cops can't call in and say that you got the situation under control till they in cuffs. So he's in cuffs already, walking him across the street, and you're upset. And then you put him on the ground and put your knee on his neck, and you just decide to stay there. And people watch him stay there. That's murder. It's fucking murder. That's all it is. You know, he knew what he was doing. I want to know how many other humans he's done this to. If he can bring some humans in that he's done this to, cuff them and then put them on their stomach and then literally ground yourself, because here's my thing. If your knee is just there to compress on his neck, why is his chest bruised like it is? Because you were grinding him down.
Yep,
you were
that's what Donella Frazier's testimony was. She said that it looked like he was enjoying himself and he was grinding his knee further into his neck. That's what she said.
Yes. That's the only way.
I thought that was really compelling testimony when she said, and a couple of things that she said prior to her saying that. I thought that was really compelling. And also, this was what made me realize that these witnesses are also going to be later involved. I don't give a fuck what if I'm sure there'll be an appeal, just like Amber Geiger case. The termination or conviction or whatever after this, but I'm sure these witnesses now qualify as victims, qualify as plaintiffs in a civil suit later after all this is done because of when she said she even felt threatened.
Yeah. Definitely.
And he said the same, and Ms. Williams said the same thing.
Right. When he said he tried to approach, and then when he approach, that's when Officer Tao pushed him away, and he had to swipe his hand away.
While this is happening, you know, that's what's getting me about it. None of these other cops did their fucking job that day.
No, no. And so when I was referring to
with all of the people that were around, Mark, I'm not gonna lie, I'm not happy that a lot of them didn't decide to bum rush these motherfuckers. Okay, but I had to think about how many cops was there, and none of them tried to stop this shit. Not one of them. All of them fuckers should be up on charges. Every fucking one of them. Okay.
The only one that tried to do anything wasn't even on the premises, dog. It was the fucking dispatch.
Yeah.
She's the one that called her fucking supervisor and said, there's something not right here.
Right.
She felt uncomfortable when she saw the video. She wasn't even on the premises. Oh, please.
If that scene was still long enough, she thought her screen froze, that's scary right there.
Right.
By itself.
She said that. She thought that she was having a video problem. She thought it break. She thought her screen froze, and but the time frame kept changing. So that's more compelling.
That was what encouraged her to call.
Testimony,
right then, because of the amount of time that it was showing that this scene had been showing. And that let me know that the cops there kept this so-called unruly and angry crowd from intervening. And if that's the case, then that should be an obstruction charge on top of everything. You stopped people who would have prevented this murder? And you're the cops? Wow. Welcome to America, huh?
Before I need to ask you something, because I don't want to get it wrong and then be in trouble. The charges are second degree manslaughter and third degree murder.
Third degree murder.
No, it's third degree manslaughter. I'm certain of that. But I think it's second degree murder. Yeah. It's third degree manslaughter.
They asked the judge about that charge, whether it could be added, and he allowed them to add it because the circumstances, it kind of does qualify under it. But really what we saw, in my opinion, was a first degree murder, capital murder. That's what I saw.
So
I don't care what anybody says about all this other
shit.
No, it's
not capital murder.
I saw a first-degree murder. I saw a person put on the ground, handcuffed, and another person grinding them into the ground for 10 minutes.
I just don't want to, but I'm talking about, and I prefaced all this by saying that some of these legal terms is going to sound like I'm a fucking dork, but this is the way they talk in court. In legal terms, they say that, you know, there's a huge difference between manslaughter and murder and the various degrees of each and one of those charges. And my question again was, and I know you understood, but my question was, I'm not sure.
No, I can tell you the difference. Manslaughter takes away intent.
Right.
This person was killed as a result of your action, but not with your initial intent going in to kill them.
It was not premeditated, so charges of murder cannot be.
In any way, but however, you were committing a crime against this person, and in the process, this person died. So, that's all it is. But what the thing is, I have issues with him having any manslaughter charges. because what I saw was someone who intended to do what they did. That's why they did it. And they didn't care that they were being videotaped. He made faces at the cameras and everything else. He did all kinds of bullshit that make me want to kill him.
Yeah, there was also, there's more evidence to come, bro, that's gonna shine more light on him and George Floyd's history, prior history, work history.
Oh, they know each other. They worked together at a club where it was known that he didn't do well with the customers on the nights when they had black crowds. He would throw a lot of black people out. Yet, when they had the white nights with country music or whatever, he had cool nights those nights, no incidents. But anytime he worked them other ones, and they liked George Floyd there, obviously. Here's the real bottom line, man. Somebody in there had access to some counterfeit money. And all of them motherfuckers, including fucking Derek Chauvin, was in on that shit. All of them. Okay? Yeah. The counterfeit 20 that they're talking about, it does exist. Okay? It do exist. Because the dude that owned the club was the one that was running them shits. Notice you ain't heard nothing about
that. That's the angle that we're going to... That we may not see develop. I'm hoping, but again, as you said earlier,
what we saw happen was a hit. That's what we saw happen was a hit. It was just the wrong fucking hit. It's the hit that started some shit. They never thought they'd be marching in Germany over you doing what you did to him.
I started to
think this was some inside shit. George did something he wasn't supposed to do. Derek, you're a cop. You're the only one that can actually get him and probably not be no big deal. Just another dead nigga in the street. Funny, he got all these drugs in his body and everything that they're saying. And I'm like, all right, y'all want to minimize his life like that. Okay. So somebody got something to gain out of this.
He was unconscious. He was near unconscious. They had to wake him up to arrest him.
Yeah, but I'm saying, my thing, and here, that's
he
the
took,
other thing.
He
like
taking
said,
whatever
all of
he
that
had,
is too
he
fat.
Took that shit.
Yeah, whatever's going on there, I'm willing to bet you when they really get to the bottom of it, it's going to be a little bit more than what the surface says. The surface makes it look like, you know, this and that, but the reason I know they're probably not going to do much to this cop was because they allowed him to leave the jurisdiction while he was awaiting trial.
So did.
And I want you to tell me any other time that you can think of anywhere with anyone where they allowed you to do that.
That one cop that turned fed down in Tennessee, that one undercover that turned fed, in Texas that turned fed, that 60 Minutes profile, he got a pass. Yeah, but it's rare, yeah.
That they allowed him to leave the jurisdiction while he was awaiting trial?
Oh, yeah.
Because normally, you know what they do when you need to do that? They lock you up somewhere safe. But they won't. They normally don't let you leave the jurisdiction because they know under the law, once you leave the jurisdiction, then the warrant that they have on you don't mean shit.
They let
people
him
knew
leave
the law,
jurisdiction because
I mean,
because he had paper on his head. He had paper on his head for all the niggas that he had locked up. That all the dope that he had planted on these folks in this Texas town.
Wow.
Oh yeah. They was on his head. They was out
of
his head, so they let him leave. Yeah. And it was profiled on 60 Minutes. This is years ago. But yeah, man. But it's rare.
Man.
You're right. It's rare. So
it just further indicates that
they're gonna at the most, you know, they're gonna convict him of the other charges of violating his civil rights, and And the most severe charges, you know, he'll probably get the lesser charge. He can't take a plea.
If the feds jump on that and they go for the civil rights violations, which I'm thinking they will, that's where he could be fucked. But the state of Minnesota is not going to punish their native son but so hard for his infraction. He was just having a bad day.
Also, with that added, and we got we're in the waning moments, almost 9 o'clock. The other thing that that's going to come up in the evidence is his kill record,
right.
His shooting record. I believe there's a highway up there named after one of his victims.
He actually is so notorious for having incidents that the senator running for president, Amy Klobuchar, one of his cases came up under her when she was a DA. Yeah, when she was a prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was not unknown
what type of cop he is. You know what I'm saying? They know what kind of cop he is. What's funny is, they never thought to neuter his ass when they had the chance. And he gave them a bunch of chances, and they still left him out there. And here we are.
Yes. So much for oversight. Yeah, Amy Klobuchar. Yeah, she's country without the O. She's country without the letter O, if you know what I mean.
It don't get no square in that, believe me.
Yeah, but my children got some of that Minnesota bloodline in them, so I better not say much more.
The place ain't got much to do with it. It ain't the place, it's the people. Remember that. There's a lot of different shit been in that place before humans was ever there.
Yeah, say
we're
that
good.
Again. Yeah.
No,
we're not so good. We're not so good, brother. But thanks for playing.
Right.
Thanks for really though, man. Thanks for joining and calling in, man. And I really appreciate. And you already know, brother, how much I treasure your wisdom and input and guidance. So.
Same here, brother.
With that said,
I learned
thank you,
much
everybody.
From you, as you learned from me, so we learn from each other. That's what it's supposed to be about.
Word, and that's the way it's supposed to be. And you know, hopefully, you know, we like glue. Everything that we learn, you know, it sticks. And everybody can attach themselves.
Right.
Again, thank you, everybody, for joining us and listening online. All my brethren out there driving and everybody. I'd be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to the community center down the street here on 71st Street, the South Shore Community Center, that's doing such a fantastic job in the community, not just feeding people, but providing services to uplift the community that desperately needs all the help and uplifting that we can get in our community here in South Shore. I want to give a shout out to them as well as Studio 71, who did some fine work for me that actually created a family heirloom that's going to be passed down to mine. And again, here in the Empowerment Zone, we stress patronizing Black businesses and services as much as possible and boycott every day, but especially on Tuesday. And thank you, everyone, again, listening online. And thank you, Brother Kevin, for calling in. We appreciate Definitely appreciate your candor and your wisdom. And stay tuned for the Brother Cleveland show tomorrow.
The Uprising.
The Uprising show. That's always so hot. And then of course on Thursday we got the Open Rant, Power Rant, and that's definitely very provocative always. And I hate that I missed Friday, but something definitely came up on a personal nature that I had to address. So, but I definitely won't miss Thursday's show. And of course, Monday, the Big Picture with Brother Melvin Seary. All these shows are on the Panther Party Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio. And again, you want to reach us, please reach out to us, leave your name and a contact number at the Panther Party 1966@gmail.com. That's the Panther Party 1966@gmail.com. And we love your support and we'll be happy to have you join us. Thanks again to everybody. You've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Peace, everybody. Please be careful out there. Don't travel alone if you can help it. And please try to travel in groups and just be as vigilant as possible. Stay safe, everybody. Stay as safe and healthy as possible. Peace. Love.
I gotta carry him.
Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is Gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah. Yeah, I'm so dull like, yeah. Woo. We gon' blow like, yeah.
Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm kicking up. I'm so pretty. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty. I'm on get it. Ooh. This is belly. Ooh, yeah. On my Kodak. Black. Ooh, know that.
America, I just checked my following, listen, You motherfuckers owe me.
This is the oppressed, this is the oppressor, this is the exploited, this is the exploiter.
And these people in this class have divided themselves and say, I'm black and I hate white people. I'm white and I hate black people. I'm Latin American and I hate hillbillies. I'm hillbillies and I hate Indians. So we're fighting amongst each other. And you've heard the testimony of pigs here. You got pigs of all colors. You know that. You got pigs that are white. You got pigs that are black. You even got pigs that are black and white. Propagating the same type of madness that this buffoon Henry had would be propagating if he were here himself. And why? Because they want to keep you to believing that I'm your enemy and that everybody else that's black and that wears a lot of hair on his head and hair on his face, they want to keep you thinking that he's your enemy. Why? Because if ever you would disregard him and overlook him just for a minute and throw away that question of racism and started to deal with a little logic, then there would be no one else you could attack other than Hanrahan, other than Bailey, and other than Tricky Dicky Nixon. If you make the right decision, then the oppressed people of the world get complete satisfaction. I know you return a verdict of not guilty. Thank you. Yeah.